Vanta helps businesses automate compliance, manage risk, and prove security in real time.
Yes, and for 20% off Vanta, go to vanta.com/fear to claim your discount. That's vanta.com/fear. Welcome to the Fear and Greed Business Interview. I'm Sean Aylmer. Last week, the Senate passed legislation allowing for a digital ID to be introduced. It's similar to what's currently available with the MyGovID, except that one is limited to government agencies. The new digital ID could be used across the broader economy by a whole range of companies like banks, utilities, that type of thing. It's going to be strictly voluntary, but I wanted to take a closer look at what it means both for consumers and businesses that will be able to use it. And to do that, we'll go to one of the companies that will be central to the rollout. Brad Carr is Executive for Innovation and Partnerships at National Australia Bank. Brad, welcome to Fear and Greed.
Thanks, Sean. Great to be with you.
First off, why do we need it?
Well, there's probably a number of reasons, and there's certainly some areas of efficiency and simplicity that we can gain. But the really big one, I think, is really the fraud and scam epidemic that we're facing, and I guess just how rampant and how monumental that's become. And it's a very tragic story for a lot of Australians and for our customers. And really, it's getting harder and harder to tell who and what is real in the online interactions we have, whether that's in business or whether that's in social interactions. You might have seen there was that case in Hong Kong in February where a corporate was scammed out of $26 million via an AI deepfake, a fake video or a fake Zoom call rather, with a fake CFO telling him to move money. So I think even if you're a skeptical person like me and you're probably still a bit inclined to trust your own eyes and ears, it's just getting harder and harder to tell what's real. And I think that really brings the case for digital ID to the fore.
Okay, so what exactly is a digital ID and how might it work?
So there's probably different interpretations around as to what digital ID is. I think at its core, it's about having secure, real-time ways to be able to verify either who you are or the one or two things that you need for something to be able to proceed. And the example I love to go to is, you know, if I'm buying alcohol, for instance, and that's a real-world scenario for me. I was just in McLaren Vale on the weekend. They don't actually need to know my driver's license number or my address or even actually my date of birth. They just need to be able to verify somehow that my date of birth was at least 18 years ago. So digital ID is about how we can provide that secure real-time verification, I think really just of that one thing that you need to know, as little as possible, and so that we can actually use this as a way to minimise the oversharing of identity data, which otherwise just feeds back into that rampant fraud and scam activity.
Okay, so what then is a digital ID? So in that example, and with respect, Brad, I reckon that you look over 18. My 20-year-old son might not look over 18. What is it? Is it something on your phone? How does it work?
Yeah, it's funny you use that analogy there. I was trying to explain this to my son one day. He saw me in my Connect ID t-shirt and I explained to him when I'm buying alcohol and he said, look, wouldn't they just look at you, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah, I got the same problem with my kids. Yeah.
The thing is, it's, you know, the alcohol is an easy scenario for me to point to, but this is actually something that's so everyday in a lot of our interactions through the economy. When people go to rent a home, they're having to provide copies of their driver's license, copies of their passport to a real estate agent. When you're onboarding for a new job, it's similar. And, you know, with all respect for the predicament that small business faces themselves in, and these are small businesses that in many cases are our clients here at NAB, you know, they then have to find ways to store and protect that identity data that they're taking in. Regrettably, I'm sure some of it ends up in filing cabinets or trash cans out the back. Some of it probably ends up on servers that they haven't necessarily had the resources to secure and ultimately ends up feeding a lot of that dark web activity. For us as a bank, you know, we have consumer customers who are increasingly conscious of the leakage of their personal data. We have business customers who are increasingly aware of the potential liability they're sitting on with some of this data. It would be so much better if we just actually provided the verification or the attestation in between, that we can verify that, yes, this person is real, yes, they do live within this particular postal code, and save the need for any of that transfer and storage of identity data.
Stay with me, Brad. We'll be back in a minute. I'm speaking to Brad Carr, Executive for Innovation and Partnerships at National Australia Bank. If I need to sign up for a new lease or something or other, what is it that I'm actually showing people from NAB that is my digital ID?
Yeah. So, and I probably need to give the clarification here that we've probably got a near term and a medium term iteration here.
Yep.
The near term is all very much online. The medium term will be when we start to have an in-person context that you can use this for as well. But in the here and now, ourselves at NAB and together with CBA via Australia Payments Plus, we've launched Connect ID. And with Connect ID, for the merchants, the businesses that come on board with that, you can be in the website or in the mobile app of the particular business you're using. Rent Better is one example that is connecting landlords and tenants together.
Mm-hmm.
And from within the Rent Better app, you are then prompted that you choose NAB or CBA or in due course one of the other banks to validate for you. It then kicks you over into the app or the internet banking platform of your chosen bank. You give the bank the authorization that you are happy for the bank to answer the one or two questions that Rent Better needs, and it then completes the flow within the Rent Better website. So it's only ever with the customer's consent. The customer instructs NAB or whichever other bank that they're comfortable for the bank to answer that question on their behalf. And because the bank has previously done KYC, know your client analysis and verification on each client, it's really us leveraging the capabilities that we already have, just giving that verification on that one or two elements that are at play. We're not sharing or passing the full identity, the full avatar or the full digital twin of a person.
Okay. And is it passcode restricted or something? Am I providing the information to the person using the app to send that through, or is that something that I'm actually doing on the app and then sending it to the person renting out the place in my instance?
Yeah. So you're giving the authentication via the NAB app or the NAB internet banking platform.
Yep.
So you're logging into that as you normally would. You're getting the multi-factor authentication as you normally would, so that it's using our secure channel.
Okay. So something you said then, which I think is really interesting, is the idea that it only provides information that's needed for that particular transaction. Tell me about that. I mean, is that a problem? Your example of handing over your license when buying alcohol, there's all that information on there that the person on the other side of the counter doesn't need. And presumably what this does, it minimises that release of information.
Yeah, correct. It's data minimisation. So we're minimising what's transferred. We're, I guess, in that sense, we're averting the flow of information that otherwise gets stored somewhere, gets leaked, ends up on the dark web, and therefore enables the next round of impersonation scams or social engineering. We're minimising that flow, but also we're using what, in the identity community, the parlance they use is a zero-knowledge proof. We're not telling Dan Murphy's what your date of birth is. We're only answering a yes or no question.
Yeah, okay. And then the flip side for businesses, they don't have to have all this information that they are at risk of losing if with this digital ID.
Yep, correct.
Now, I noticed some research from National Australia Bank. It says one in two Australians, or 46%, overall said they're either very likely or likely to sign up for a bank-verified digital ID. About 40% or a bit under were undecided, 15% were unlikely. From where I stand, it is a no-brainer. I don't want my information out there. Why wouldn't I, assuming we trust the banks, and so I appreciate there's probably a cohort who don't trust banks, but 99% of it trust the banks. Why do you think there's still so much indecision around this?
Well, I think we've got a bit of a job ahead of us in helping to grow the awareness of this and to give the confidence in, as you've rightly posed to me, what digital ID is and how this is going to work. And I'm sure for a lot of people it is an unknown. But also I think there are very different trust profiles in different parts of the community. I love to point to the studies that have been done by the Bank of England and the Bank for International Settlements, each of which have quite consistently shown that people trust, the majority of people trust their bank more than they trust government, more than they trust a tech firm with their personal ID data. But majority doesn't mean everybody, and there will be different patterns of and different trust behaviours. And so I think it's really important that ultimately, if we're going to make this work for Australians and if we're going to give them secure services, we need to give them choice. And there will be people who might prefer a state or a federal government app or Australia Post or maybe Telstra. I think Australians will use a digital ID service if we respect their right to choice and if we have multiple entities such as ourselves stepping forward and providing an extra option, an extra choice. And if you do have the ability to, I'm going to validate myself with MyGovID or with Services New South Wales or with NAB or with CBA. Whereas I think if people were shoehorned into here is the solo or singular service that you have to use for ID, I think that would make people a lot more reluctant, or at least there'd be a chunk of the community that would opt out of that.
Final question, Brad. How secure is it? Because the bottom line here is we started with scams, and the thing about a digital ID is that hopefully it reduces scams. I'm sure that nothing's 100% secure, and I'm sure that scammers will find their way around things. But what sort of difference will it make if people do adopt it?
Yeah, so I think it improves things on two levels. One is it cuts out that flow of leaking data, but it does also steer people into a more secure channel with their bank. And we need to see this against, you know, not only that AI deepfake scenario I mentioned, but also, you know, you see increasingly in ticketing systems, you know, when you're trying to buy the Taylor Swift tickets or the next lot of LeBron sneakers, you've used to have to go through the whole capture thing where you had to click on every square that had a bicycle or a bridge or what. I think it's increasingly known that system has been defeated. And so you do see a number of the US banks moving to an arrangement, I think, or at least there are pilots running in the US where when you are in the Taylor Swift tickets queue, you're going to need to validate yourself with Bank of America or Wells Fargo to show that you are a legitimate person worth that place in the queue as opposed to a bot operating on behalf of a scalper. Now, I think there's got to be Australians who will want to stand in that Ticketmaster or Nike queue alongside the Wells Fargo customer. And so it's a really important part that we step forward and bring that. And it's also going to be important for those Zoom calls, not only for the deepfake scenario, but also for whether it's telemedicine or with financial advice, establishing that the person on the other end is real. Again, I think you're going to see a world quite quickly where the Bank of America and Wells Fargo customer will be logging in with their bank to provide the verification to the other side that they're real. And I want to bring that to Australia as well.
Fantastic. Well, good luck with it, Brad. And thank you for talking to Fear and Greed.
Thanks, Sean.
That was Brad Carr, Executive for Innovation and Partnerships at National Australia Bank. This is the Fear and Greed Business Interview. Join us every morning for the full episode of Fear and Greed, daily business news for people who make their own decisions. I'm Sean Aylmer. Enjoy your day.
G'day, Dave the Goose here. I used to use my own wings to fly. Then I discovered Air New Zealand. They fly all over North America, including New York. So now I spread my wings in premium economy. So much space.
Glass of bubbles, Dave?
Ooh, good on ya. I can even upgrade to a flexible fare. So if I meet a lady swan in Central Park, changing my flight is super easy.
Discover a better way to fly to North America. Book now at airnewzealand.com.au.
Want to download fuel savings? Download the My 7-Eleven app and get access to Fuel Price Lock. With My 7-Eleven Fuel Price Lock, you could save up to 25 cents per litre. Simply open the app, lock in the best local 7-Eleven fuel price, and fill up in the next 7 days. Easy as. Download the My 7-Eleven app now and try Fuel Price Lock today. You've got a deal at 7-Eleven. Terms and conditions apply. Savings not guaranteed.